Does that inspire you? Holy Spirit in you. Getting hold of that. Being inspired by God. Are we desperate for God? Yeah, because without Him we can do nothing. Yeah, and David said there, are you a young man or an old man? Well, I was just thinking about, that's relative. If I look to Jake, I'm an old man. I'm six times his age. Yeah, that done off rocked down a bit, done it? When you put it like that. I won't say how many times older than Vinny I am. That would be even more. But if I look forward, look over to Moses, I'm a young man. You know, and when you look in Scripture, how old was Caleb? 85, when he says, can I have the hill country? Can I have my inheritance? 85. And he's setting off to claim his inheritance, to fight for it. He wasn't backing down. He was fighting for his inheritance. You know, there's a saying, the best is yet to come. And I believe that that's true for each one of us in here. We may be getting older. We are not old. And the best is yet to come. Yes. Yes. Or a good wine. Yes. Once again, who are you in Christ? Have you been thinking about that and going on it again? We said, yes, you're a child of God. We know that, but we've got to get it from ear to ear. That we're children of God. We're born again of the Word of God. We're saved from sin and all its consequences. We're delivered from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. We're able to do all things in Christ Jesus. Now I've built you up. Let's remember again, we're a work in progress. So all of those we have achieved in part, and we are going to continue to achieve and keep growing. We are a work in progress. God said He's moving us from one degree of glory to another. So let's receive that. Let's not be sitting back, oh, well, I don't know about that. That's not for me. That's for other people. Yes, it is. It's for you. It's for everyone who's born again. God wants the very blessed, the very best, and be very blessed as well. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. God's looking to it, though. He wants us complete. He's got all these things. He's got plans stored up. I wonder how many plans there's going to be in heaven, in that room where God says they weren't picked up. Do you want to pick your plans up? Yes, and to move on into what God's got for us. I'm digressing, but never mind. Yeah, I quoted Smith Wigglesworth last week. I am more and more convinced every day I live that very few who are saved by the grace of God have a right conception of how great their authority is over darkness, demons, death, and every power of the enemy. That's a stark comment. But how true is it? How many of the believers, how many of the body of Christ do not recognize their authority in heaven? I'm trying to encourage each one of us. That's why we keep going back, who are we in Christ? To get into that place. And I'm trying to encourage myself as well. I'm not there yet. Getting there, but not there yet. You know, recognize just who we are in Christ. And what's the significance of that? What can happen? What can change? What did Wesley say? Give us 10 men and I'll take the country. Was it 10? I think it was 10 men he said. I'll take the country. Yeah. Jesus said, I'll take 12. Take the world. Yeah. There's more than 12 over here. And what we're focusing on at the present time is the East Riding. We go beyond that when the East Riding's taken, but we're looking to East Riding, aren't we? And we're going out as watchmen again on Thursday and Friday this week, again, staking our territory in the East Riding. So we'd value prayer for that. But Jesus passed on his authority, didn't he? Remember, all authority was given to him. There's a tendency to think that the enemy is powerful, a tendency to think that the enemy is in control. Yes, he is powerful, but not as powerful as our God. He's nowhere near. Yeah, but he gets built up and built up. He can only do what he is allowed to do. We've got to remember that. Let's lay hold of James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That verse is often misquoted. And that bit at the beginning gets forgotten. Therefore, submit to God. Because it's in God's authority, it's in God's strength, it's in God's power that we can rebuke the enemy. Remember, Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. And that's an archangel. The Passion says, surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Stand up to the devil, resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. When we say resist, one of the thoughts that came into my mind there was that you're in a room and somebody's trying to get in the room and you're pushing against the door to keep the door shut. You're resisting the devil. But there's something between you and the opposition. The Passion says, stand up, stand firm, and resist. That's meaning face to face, eyeball. I'm standing against you. We look the enemy in the face. I'm standing against you because I know who I am in Christ. I know the authority I have got. I know that I am protected by my God. The Amplified states, submit to the authority of God. Remember, all authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. We are under the Almighty. When we're submitted, we're under his banner, we're under his shelter, we're under his protection. Once we're there, it says, resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Notice, stand firm. That's not just one no, and then you give in. Oh, it's not happening. It's not working. It's no, 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 no. Keep going with the no's. He's an opportunist. He's a chancer. I'll just go and try and tempt them one more time and see if they give in. No. That's the answer. I've told you before, spirit of death was on me. It was prayed for, lifted off. Was that the last time I heard the Spirit speak to me? No. He came back. He came back. And he came back. And it was a case, no, I've been released from this. I'm not having this. The word of God says, I shall live forever and proclaim the word of the Lord. And that's the verse I was given by the person who prayed for me when I had the spirit of death lifted off. And you know, from speaking to me every single day, it started getting less and less and less frequent. And then it just stopped. No, 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 no. Yes, he's gone. Yes. Yeah. We're continuing to look at the hidden kingdom. The kingdom of God. We're called to advance the kingdom. Let the kingdom be known. So we're looking at what the kingdom is like. And Matthew 13 is where Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. And I want us to continue looking in Matthew 13. And I want to go to verse 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now, just before we start unpacking that, just let's look at the context or the situation that the Jewish nation was in at this time. They were under Roman rule, a Roman occupation. They were the underdogs. And they were believing and they were expecting what God had said, the Messiah was going to come. They were expecting a Messiah to come in that was going to be all-powerful, almighty, was going to wipe the Roman Empire out of the way and establish the kingdom. That's what they were expecting. How does Jesus respond? He talks about a tiny seed, the smallest seed that they knew. The king, and he was saying really in this, is the kingdom's going to come in, it's going to come in small, but it will grow. It grows from that tiny, tiny seed to a bush. It's not actually a tree, it's a bush up to 12 feet high. That's a fair old size. But they couldn't comprehend such a small beginning. They were expecting the spectacular. Wham! He's come in. You see, I just thought when I put it together, Jesus rode in on a colt, a young donkey. They were expecting the Messiah to come in on a white charger, because that's where they all came in, on the big white horses. They were coming in, swords flailing, people being chopped down, moving through. That's it. We've taken over the kingdom. We've overrun the Roman Empire. And it would grow that big that the tree, that the birds could nest in it. Yeah. Matthew Henry says, here is the parable of the grain of mustard seed. The scope of this parable is to show that the beginnings of the gospel would be small, but that its latter end would greatly increase. Now, concerning the work of God, of the gospel, observe that it is commonly very weak and small at first, like a grain of mustard seed, which is one of the least of all seeds. In particular places, the first breaking out of the gospel light is but a dawning of the day. Young converts are like lambs that must be carried in his arms. That yet it is growing and coming on. A grain of mustard seed is small, but however, it is a seed, and has it in it a disposition to grow. Gracious habits confirmed, actings quickened, and knowledge more clear, faith more confirmed, love more inflamed. Here is the seed growing as the faith grows, that it will at last come to a great degree of strength and usefulness. When it is grown to some maturity, it becomes a tree. The church is like a great tree in which the fowls of the air do lodge. God's people have recourse to it for food and rest, shade and shelter. In particular, persons growing grace will be strong grace and will bring much to pass. Growing Christians must covet to be useful to others as the mustard seed, when grown, is to the birds. Yeah, very much so. The church is going to grow. The church is going to blossom. The church is going to be a shelter for everybody to come in and to look after. That's what's been put across in here. And then when we look at verse 33, I'm jumping a little bit. Another parable he spoke to them, The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Matthew Henry says to this one, the leaven was hid in 3 measures of meal. That's about 50 to 60 pounds worth of flour. That's a big lump of dough. Yeah. The heart is as the meal, soft and pliable. It is the tender heart that is likely to profit by the word. In the 3 measures of meal, a great quantity for a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The leaven must be hid in the heart. We must lay it up as Mary laid up the sayings of Christ. The leaven thus hid in the dough works there. The leaven works speedily, so does the word, and yet gradually. It works silently and insensibly, yet strongly and irresistibly. Hide but the leaven in the dough, and all the world cannot hinder it from communicating its taste and relish to it, and yet none see how it is done. But by degree, the whole is leavened. Thus it was in the world. The apostles, by their preaching, hid a handful of leaven in the great mass of mankind. And it had a strange effect. It put the whole world into a ferment and in a sense turned it upside down. So we're looking there at the leaven being really positive. A very small bit going into a massive bit and it changes it. The small developing the influence of the kingdom spreading. Wouldn't it be simple if there was only one way to look at things? You know, I said there, if I look back, I'm an old. If I look forward, I'm young. And likewise, in Scripture, we've got different aspects that we can look at. If we go back to verse 31, it says, it refers to God's people or the birds can shelter and get food and stuff from the tree. However, in the parable of the sower, what are the birds? In verse 4, the birds come and pick up the seed. And then in verse 19, Jesus says, the birds are the evil one. The birds represent Satan. In Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He sees a great tree. And in Daniel 4:12, we see the birds live in the tree. And Daniel goes on, I'm not going to read, you can read it yourselves. It goes on, and this is Daniel 4, and he's explaining who this tree is. Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, it is you, O king. So the tree, the great tree that was supporting the birds, according to, which is Nebuchadnezzar, according to Daniel, God says, it's you, O king. So the tree is not the kingdom. The tree is a symbol of world power. Again, in Ezekiel 17, verse 22, and it's under the heading, Israel exalted at last. Thus says the Lord God, I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its young tender twigs and plant it on the high mountains. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it, and it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches they will dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and exalted the low tree, dried up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. What's this book it's speaking about? We're talking here about the Lord is saying, I'm going to defeat Babylon, the tree, the world power. I'm going to defeat Babylon and bring it down. But I'm going to plant a new tree, which is going to be Israel. He's doing there. But it says that this new tree, the new tree, will put big boughs, so it's going to grow to a good size. And it says birds of every sort. Now we've got to take notice, it's not just birds, it's birds of every sort are going to be planted in, are going to be nesting there. So we've got, in one hand, birds are good. On the other hand, birds are bad. It depends which way we're looking. You know, this is one of the things with the Bible, isn't it? It's not either or, but it's and. So it can be one thing, or it can be both and. So the birds can be evil or good. The tree can be evil or good. It depends what context we're looking at it in. So we've got to be aware that it's not either or. It's not one or the other. It can be both in different circumstances. I mean, I've shared it, but it's long to have shared it, about L.L. Grange. When they were actually buying that, they were praying for somewhere, and their team of intercessors had got a picture of where this place was. So they went out there to buy it and walked round. And some of them, yeah, this is the place, definitely. Others said, no, this isn't the place. This isn't what I've seen. And then they went round the back. That had pictures from both sides, the different intercessors. So there's a confirmation. God said, this is the place because I've shown you both sides. So we've got to recognize that as we're looking at Scripture. Both sides need to be looked at. Not to be confused by it, but to be made aware by it. Nebuchadnezzar is the worldly tree that God takes down. Ezekiel was Babylon. The first tree was Babylon, which God took down. But then it becomes the tree that God planted. And that's, we've got to recognize that. But notice the birds of every kind are sat in that tree that God planted. God's tree, the church, birds of every kind are sat in the branches or sat in the pews, whichever way we want to cut it. We stated, we looked at the parable of the sower. The field with different types of soil and conditions, which became different levels of fruitfulness. We saw the wheat and the tares. The enemy planted the bad in amongst the good. It gave the impression of a really good crop. But when it came to harvest, the tares had taken the goodness and produced nothing. The good crop, or the good seed, produced a crop. There's a warning there. Some will just take and produce nothing. Others will work together and produce a crop. The mustard seed started small, growing, supporting, sheltering, blossoming. That's the church growing stronger. But the church can be growing with hidden flaws. The church can be growing with abnormalities. Birds of every kind. Not all good. Like the tares that Satan sowed in. Look at the New Testament. We've got the church in the New Testament. Everybody, it says that, all things in common. They looked after each other. They helped each other. They encouraged each other. They had one goal. That was to spread the kingdom. It wasn't to build their own church. It wasn't to build their own little empire. It was to spread the gospel, to spread the kingdom of God. What's happened? When you look around yourself now, or look around ourselves now, what about the great wealth that's in the church? Abbeys, monasteries, palaces. The second son in the family used to be the clergyman because he would get a living from the poor people of the church. I looked up Church of England. What do they own? 200,000 acres of land in this country the Church of England owns. That doesn't mention anything about the properties, or again, the bishop's palaces, or anything like that. And I'm not against somebody having a nice house. Well, they say no more. You look at the Church of the Catholic Church. I looked up at that, and it just said billions. Actually, it's impossible to value because of all the land, the buildings, what they've got in their vaults, with all the artworks, what they've got in the bank. It's impossible to value what they've got. Is that what God intended? I'm no doubt there's others as well. I'm not just knocking them, I'm using them as an illustration. This is what's been happening for the last 2,000 years. The church, per se, has got richer and richer. And we've got hierarchy being elevated to being like God. If you look at the leaven in 33, verse 33, it demonstrates inward development. Now, some say that that's good. But let's remember, it can be good or bad. So let's, if we look at Exodus 12, this is what God's saying. Exodus 12, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person should be cut off. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on that seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done in them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may you prepare for you by you. So you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for on that same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an ordinance, everlasting ordinance. In the first month of the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month. There'll be no leaven to be found in your houses. That's what God said to the Israelites. They had to keep the leaven out of their houses. Why? Because to the Jews, the leaven is a way of getting rid of bad habits. By not having the leaven there, that says, right, I'm going to lay down the bad habits that are coming through. But it can also represent hypocrisy and false teaching. Jesus in Luke 12 said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. They were saying one thing, demonstrating one thing, saying you should be like this, and they were doing different themselves. We've got to be careful for ourselves. Are we carrying through and acting what we're saying? I mean acting, I don't mean act as an act. Are we performing what God is saying to us for to do? In Exodus 34, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with anything leavened. What God's saying is, do not pollute my sacrifice with leaven. Because why? As we said, it's hypocrisy. It's false teaching. That's what it can be. Then we see Paul in Ephesians 2. He's talking about God's grace. It said, by grace through faith. While we were still sinners, God called us. Still sinners. That means the yeast or the leaven is still within us. Yeah. But he brings it together where it says that God is bringing Jew and Gentile together. The chosen people and the Gentiles coming together. What he's really saying is the pure and the unpure are being brought together. Those with leaven in are still being allowed to come in by God's grace. Yeah, I'll go. Yeah, for he himself in our peace, 14, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. He wants to bring the Jew and the Gentile together. I think that's a very important thing at this present time. When we look at what's happening in Israel, what's happening in Gaza, what's happening now, the tide of public opinion is turning against the Jews because of what they are doing. It is totally forgotten the reason that they're doing. It's never mentioned the fact that they are still getting shelled in Israel now, even though all this is happening. And it's coming from different fronts as well. Yeah. But it's the Jews that are at fault. They're turned against them. God's saying, look, I want to take this dividing wall down between the Jew and the Gentile. We're part of his family. He wants to bless us together. God is joining us. In Matthew 16, going back to Jesus. Matthew 16, verse 6. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves or the 5,000 and of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I know not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They are the religious people. And he's saying, beware. Be careful. We see in Matthew 22:16, and they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anything, for you do not regard the person of men. That's a bit of an insult. Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Yeah. Worldly compromise. That's what they're trying to say. Yeah. Yeah. Let's turn things around. Let's just look at things. We don't pay tax. Jesus says, pay unto Caesar what's Caesar's, unto God what's God. Back to it. Which way do we do things? Paul in the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 5, and he's talking there 6 to 8, you can't get rid of the carnal nature. We're cleansed. We're made pure by Christ. Galatians 5, verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. the Galatians were going well, but then they started backtracking. We see that in Revelation, don't we, as well, where they were doing well, and then they started. You've lost your first love. Why? Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Jesus said it very clearly as he spoke through Paul. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, who has ears to hear? Be careful what you hear and how you hear. It's not just listen and listen and think, but it's listen, think and do. The tares, the birds in the tree, the leaven in the bread can reflect future complacency, influence, corruption within the church. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've got to be careful. The seed has been sown in the hearts of men. How much of the seed will bear fruit? Or how much is going to be choked or starved or eaten? Satan has sown counterfeits in the church. He's encouraged false growth. It looks good, but other birds come and take the harvest or reduce the harvest. He's introduced false doctrine. We don't have to think very much before we recognize the false doctrine that's been introduced in the church. Greed, pride, ego will change what the Word of God says, because it's an old-fashioned book. It's not up to date with today's standards. Make the message suit the current behavior or what we believe today. That's what's happening. But let's remember that this is part. This is the warning for us to recognize this is going on, to let us know, to make us aware of the things that are happening, so we know what we're fighting. So we know, as Paul says, we're not punching the air. We're hitting the target as we pray, as we punch. Leaven means that which causes transformation. That which causes transformation. Without leaven, the bread does not rise. Without Jesus and his kingdom, the world cannot be saved. So we can look to the good soil, the seed, to the flourishing bush, to supporting lots of people. The leaven, a small part being put into the whole lump, but the gospel will be spread. There will be shelter for those that need shelter. But we can also see that not everyone produces a crop. There are all sorts of birds in the tree, some from God and some from the enemy. The leaven can represent evil, hypocrisy, or corruption, or it can be growth, good growth. Growth that goes on exponentially. Growth that goes on undercover that you can't see. Good growth. Jesus said, you know, when you look at that, the tree, the mustard seed and the tree growing, that gives the impression that the tree is going to flourish, the church is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and great. Jesus said there was going to be a falling away in the end times. But he also said there was going to be a great end-time harvest. So we've got the two things to look at again. So where are we going to focus? Oh, the church is getting smaller. Oh, no. The church is going to grow. It's going to flourish. And we're going to see the things of God, if you like, reinstated. That we are going to see the revival coming in, that we are going to see the healings coming forward, that we are going to see the salvations, we are going to see traffic queue for people getting into this place. We are. Why? Because God said so. It's a matter, do we look back or do we look forward? And we've been told very clearly, do not look back. We've got to move forward. Moving forward. There will be an end time harvest. And we're part of the harvesters for that. Let's not get discouraged. But let's be recognize who we are, where we are, and what our task is. How are we listening? Intently, focused, and acting? Or are we just letting go by? Father, help us to hear aright, to see aright, to see the good, the positive, but not allow that to blind us to the bad, to identify truth and hypocrisy, your word and your way and false doctrine, to identify your growth to fruitfulness and tear growth. You say all sorts of birds. Let us embrace, encourage, and grow with your choice, your flock, while seeking to change the tares. Thank you, Lord. Amen.